Faith tells a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. It fell on four kinds of ground. The first three kinds of ground produced no yield. Only the fourth was good soil. And the first of the three fruitless soils. The first was the pathway. In scattering a seed, some of the seed fell on the pathway, says Jesus. As soon as it fell on the pathway, the birds of the air are watching. Hard ground, the birds swooped down and picked up the seed. That was the end of the seed. The disciples then asked Jesus to explain the parable. I'm just explaining part one. There are four parts to this parable. Four kinds of soil. And Christ came to explain, he said, the seed falling on the pathway, hear it and never, comma, never forget what Christ said. The seed falling on the pathway are those who receive the word of God in their hearts, but did not understand it. Comma. And therefore, the evil one, the devil, came along and stole the word of God from their hearts. This is what has happened to millions of once professed Catholic Americans, including, I feel safe, some of your own children. I know some of my own nearest and dearest relatives. There is no way you can receive the faith. Being baptized is not enough. Getting some basic instruction as a child is not enough. Either you grow in your understanding, get that word, understanding of what you believe, or as sure as there was a God in heaven and a devil in hell, that devil will steal the faith from your hearts. It's not an opinion. That's the revealed truth of Jesus Christ. Only God knows. Only He knows. Who is responsible for the massive education of Catholics in everything from azines to zygotes. Catholics who know so much, over 5 million Americans on college campuses every year, but are ignoramuses when it comes to understanding the faith. I know what I'm talking about because I'm not sharing with you an opinion. I'm telling you what Christ Himself has taught. And there's only one way of preserving the faith, and that is to grow, and that verb is essential. Grow in your understanding of what you believe. Hear the real peasants. I don't want to repeat myself. I tell you the story about the fellow in class that I was having in Ann Arbor, who, after Mass, I tell you this, picked up the particles, I tell you this, here in class?
No.
Did I?
No.
Well, he told me. He went to Mass. Well, they shouldn't have, but they used leavened bread. And, of course, everybody went to communion, a little piece of the leavened bread. Valid consecration, but forbidden in the Latin rite. He noticed, he was sitting near the front, he noticed there were just a lot of particles of the Holy Eucharist on the ground after communion. He waited until everybody left the church. Looked around, nobody was around. Looked to see the priest also seemed to be gone from the sacristy. Put out his handkerchief, ran over to the front of the sanctuary where the Holy Communion was being distributed and began picking up these particles and putting them into his handkerchief. The priest was still in the sacristy. So my friend shouted, "What are you doing?" And the fellow said, "I'm picking up the particles that were dropped during Holy Communion." The priest said, "Get out." It's a big fellow. He didn't move. The priest said, "Get out." He still wouldn't move, kept picking up the particles. The priest rushed over, and to impress the priest with what he was doing, this man, he was big enough, no matter how big the priest was, he was no match. This young man allowed himself to be dragged out of church by the collar, dragged by the priest, because he, this young fellow, had the faith particles were Jesus Christ. As I've said before, my 27th year in working for the Holy See, pray and sacrifice for bishops and priests. And that priests will understand what they are doing when they lean over the bread and say, "This is my body," and believe it. How many of you rest related to the sacred liturgy? Answer. The liturgy holds the first place in the life of the church, and the Eucharistic mystery stands at the heart and center of the liturgy. That's what Pope Paul VI wrote in his document, Mysterium Fidei. In other words, at the center of the church's life is a liturgy, and with emphasis, the Eucharistic liturgy. Over the years, I think I've mentioned, in teaching in Protestant seminaries, and always, always teaching them Catholic doctrine. They paid good mazuma to my Jesuit superiors. I've told them, my dear friends, Catholicism is, Protestantism is, priestless Christianity. Another definition. Protestantism is mass-less Christianity. A priest by the name of Martin Luther lost his faith, abandoned his faith in his own priesthood. And over the years I've struggled with too many priests who are struggling with their faith. As I've told so many audiences, the problem is not women. It is not alcohol. It is not authority. It is faith. And the Catholic Church will survive only where there are still bishops and priests who have the faith that Christ taught his apostles and passed on to those who are still not just nominally but truly Catholics. G holds the first place in the life of the Church. The Eucharistic mystery stands at the heart and center of the liturgy. How well I know all the liturgists, the liturgical, you name them, seminars, courses, doctorates being offered the liturgy. But the bottom line is, there is no liturgy on Christian principles unless those who either participate in the liturgy or, as they believe, perform the liturgy, believe that the Holy Eucharist is, and no other verb will do, is Jesus Christ. I was raised by a widowed Franciscan mother. My father died when I was a year old. She never remarried. I learned about St. Francis from infancy. And one thing I've never stopped telling people, Francis never considered himself worthy, mind you, worthy of ordination to the priesthood. He had the highest respect for the priesthood and trained his Franciscan followers to love priests, pray for priests. No matter what their behavior may be, respect their priesthood. And the reason, of course, as Francis so clearly understood, is that except for the Catholic priesthood, there will not be Jesus Christ on earth. Question 5. Why should this be true? What we've just answered. This is true because the font of life by which we are cleansed and strengthened to live, not for ourselves but for God, and to be united in love among ourselves, all of this depends on the Holy Eucharist. Oh, my friends, how easy it is for me to trill words. So many years of education, 31 to be exact. Easy to say, I've got a big vocabulary. I can talk by the hour. But the words that we are using here, quoting from the Holy Father, all the sixth mystery of faith. What a difference between saying the words I am repeating and you patiently listening and you and I understanding what we are saying. Are we saying, following up on the answer to the question, that our strength to live, not for ourselves but for God, our strength to be united in love among ourselves, all of this depends on the Holy Eucharist? Are you serious? Are we being told that we cannot live a selfless life, here on earth? Are we being told that we cannot love one another as Christ tells us we must to reach heaven without the Eucharist? Yes. Yes. All 3 years of teaching before my ordination, I was teaching in high schools. 2 years at Xavier High School in Cincinnati, my third year at U of D High in Detroit. And then we would have Mass every morning about 45 minutes before the first class. And these young fellows, 14, 15, 16, in high school, he would counsel them. They would tell me, or tell us, I never had so much problems with chat like I have now. They were reaching manhood. So we tell them, well, Jim or Joe or Tim, if you want to preserve your chastity, you've got to go to Holy Communion frequently. Phew. I'd have to go every day. Tell them, well, no. Look, that's up to you. You want to preserve your chastity? Sure I do. I mean every syllable of the next sentence. 600 was the enrollment then in Xavier High School in Cincinnati. All but a handful of those 600 young fellows came to Mass and Communion every morning because they were taught, you're going to keep your chastity, you must receive Holy Communion. One more minute left to the 10 minutes that I said I would speak. Married people, how easy it is on your wedding day to say, in answer to the question, you take so-and-so here present as your lawful wife, for better for worse, richer for poor, unto death do you part. I do. Both say I do, smiling, beaming with joy. As you know from experience, I know from 50 now years of priestly counseling, the surest way of preserving fidelity in marriage, love of your husband and wife, and accepting the children God wants to send you, and loving them selflessly, is Holy Communion. A 10-minute break. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.